Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
And good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago, Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind. Just about 8 minutes after 12. We welcome you to the Lunchtime Doctor, but of course our very own Dr. Safia Mohammed. The Lunchtime Doctor is on, simulcast on Freedom 106.5 FM, Singeat 106.1 FM, Vibe CT 105 FM and Sky 99.5 FM. Along the way, you can send your medical questions to us on WhatsApp 306 1065. Dr. Mohammed is ready and available to assist you with those questions. You could also give us a call 627-323-625-2257. Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed. How are you?
Good afternoon, Govind. Good afternoon to all those locked in to your Lunchtime Doctor. I am Dr. Safia Mohammed, here to answer your questions, here to help you unravel those medical challenges and, of course, offer some advice to ensure we can optimize our health and well-being. Govind, I had such a wonderful weekend this weekend because I was able to interact with, I would say, the Lunchtime Doctor's number one fans in Trinidad and Tobago. And here's what happened. Over the weekend, the Dow Village and Esperance Jamaat had a lovely fundraiser. There were over 500 persons attended, and the imam there, who's over 90 years, shared he encourages his entire area community, the Jamaat, to listen into the program because ensuring our health and well-being is one of our religious principles. And you know, that extends across all religions, all denominations, ensuring we take care of our elderly, take care of our loved ones. And at that particular fundraiser, this tea party, persons were able to quote some of the health advice we are giving and also tell me how they have changed their lifestyles, how they have substituted salt, how they've substituted sugar. One even went ahead telling me they utilized the opportunity of creating a little home herb garden. And now she spends less money going to the market because she's picking her own produce from her home garden. Govind, it made it all worthwhile, these engagements and conversations that we have right here on the Lunchtime Doctor.
Definitely. And Doctor, we've already got calls coming in. Let's go to the phone line, 627-322-3625-2257. Sorry about that. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to the panel.
Good afternoon, sorry.
Good morning, sorry about that. Doctor, I'm 78 years of age, diabetic, hypertension, have heart problem. And for the past 4 days, what has been happening to me, I just feel like my foot getting feeling warm, whether rain falling or not, and my foot will be feeling warm, like a little heat in my foot. What could be this one for that, please?
Thank you so much for giving us that vital information. So when one has both diabetes and hypertension, one of those complications is something called neuropathy. So the lower limbs can experience damage to the nerves, or they can experience another thing called they can have not just damage to the nerves, but they can have blockages within the blood vessels that may lead to this, what you're experiencing, not just that warmth feeling, but as some may describe, that tingling. Now, anytime we hear warmth, it is, as you say, it's despite whatever weather experience, I am thinking some sort of inflammatory process is happening. I want to ensure that it's not a diabetic infection, because any sort of inflammatory infective procedure will have or give that heat, as they say, because that is one of the early signs of infection or an inflammatory process. I want you to check and see, do, or if not, you can't put a little mirror under the sole of the feet and check and see if there aren't any cuts or bruises. Sometimes a small bruise that's not healing properly can now lead to an infected area. We see this quite often with our diabetic patients, especially those that has both hypertension and diabetes. What I also want you to do is ensure you are giving the lower limbs some sort of exercise. Yes, you said over 70 years, but right here on this program, we've talked about my relative who's 105. Over the weekend, we met a 90-year-old imam who continues to encourage persons to engage in exercise. So I would encourage you, make sure you're getting some sort of exercise, especially the lower limbs, meaning walking, hiking. And when I say hiking, even if it's walking through the community, of course, with loved ones, so you want to ensure you're being safe, or just in the garden. So check on the feet. Make sure there aren't any bruises, any cuts, any open sores. That may lead to a sign of infection. That's what typically can cause the warmth. Look out for if you're also experiencing any tingling, any sort of numbness. Those are all signs of neuropathy, and you want to ensure you're taking your medication so you prevent any sort of occlusions or blockages within both the arteries and the veins within the circulatory system. Hope that answers your question.
All right, good afternoon, Doc. I'm here 13 minutes after 12. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor, 627-3223, 625-2257, and of course, WhatsApp messages 306-1065. Let's hope that everyone had a great weekend. Let's take your calls right now. Hello, good afternoon.
Beast Boy.
Yeah, man.
My blessed doctor, who's trying to maintain us with health and strength, so we will not have to go to the hospital once you eat and drink the right thing. But last week before, you talk about garlic. I talk about garlic and onion because both is important. This is very important that garlic and onion maintain us in good health. This is miracle food in a way. And you know what? I like to talk about SOS, doctor. You know what is SOS? I invent that. Salt, oil, sugar. Take care from these things or use limited amount. If you do want to, don't ever use it. So last week now, I do not like to chastise people. This doctor is doing a lot of work for us all. And the doctor, she sits here and make a mistake. And I listen attentively. So what if the doctor make a mistake? Doctors keep learning every day some medical breakthrough, something, nobody's perfect. Police make mistakes. They have to look at seniors and ask questions, right? And same thing with our medical institution and personnel. They keep learning about these things. So, it's no big thing. They keep learning something new every day in the medical thing. So, that was such a risk. I hope that answers your question.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the feedback. And yes, incredible health benefits to garlic and onion. I like that little acronym, SOS. Yes, so we can scream help when there's too much salt, oil, and sugar. Thank you for your feedback. And of course, let's continue to engage the population in a healthy lifestyle.
All right. Good day, doctor. How can I treat with uric acid? Mine is 8.1. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So now when it comes to uric acid, that means there may be either you're feeling that swelling in the joints. Most times with uric acid, one may present with gout. That's where you have that, not just the swelling of the joint itself, but it also can have a swelling of the ankle, pain, and it can be red and inflamed. How do we need to treat with it? There are medical treatments, there's physiotherapy as well. And finally, if need be, we can do direct injections to the joint area. With uric acid, we want to ensure that you're also making your lifestyle measures are balanced. This is where we need to reduce the uric acid content from your nutrition. How can we do that? Simple things have a lot or contribute to that uric acid deposition within the joints. Anything that has a host of processed chemicals, so tinned foods in particular, would increase your uric acid concentration in the body. You want to stay far away from that. any sort of, not just tinned foods, but other processed foods, things like bacon, things like any sort of ham presentation. So be it turkey ham or even ham from bacon. And when I say processed, it goes through a number of chemical processes before you're actually ingesting it. So stay away from as many as these types of foods with high chemical ingredients. The other thing you want to do, you also want to avoid foods and beverages with a high fructose component. And what are those in particular? Let's just say you're having breakfast with pancakes. That syrup may have a very high fructose content. So stay away or reduce your sweetened products. Increase your water. Every day we talk about increasing water. Those with any sort of uric acid buildup certainly need to ensure they're increasing their water intake. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Good day, doctor. I am 65 years old. Do you believe milk should be part of your daily diet? I'm experiencing a lot of cramps in the fingers. I have been off milk almost a year.
Right. So at age 65, if you're experiencing those cramps in your fingers, it may not necessarily only be milk, unless there's a specific milk allergy, and that would tend to present with other symptoms, not necessarily cramps. That may give you indigestion. You may feel nauseous. You may have some sort of gut indigestion, so that may lead to either diarrhea or constipation. But those cramps in the fingers, I am tending to lean towards, we want to rule out any sort of neuropathy. We want to rule out if there's any sort of high blood pressure or diabetes that can easily lead to that neuropathy. The other thing, when we tend to experience cramps in the fingers, we also want to check our thyroid levels. We want to check and make sure there even isn't something called cervical spondylosis. So that's at the area of the neck and within the spinal cord. If there's any sort of arthritic process that may lead to either the spinal cord becoming damaged, and then the nerves in the affected areas, the upper limbs, can now be affected. So cramps in the hands, in the upper limbs, are not one I will take lightly. I consider that a red flag. So right away, I want you to take that next step. Be brave. Go to your healthcare physician and make sure it gets properly checked out. Because here's the thing. First stage is numbness. Next stage may lead to loss of sensation. Can you possibly imagine not being able to have that sensation on your hands and losing those abilities? So let's make sure we treat it early on and take that next step going to your healthcare professional.
All right, let's take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Good afternoon. I'm calling from Pinal. Doc, I recently had some guys mixing concrete with shovels here, and one of them got some cramps. He was their main guy, and he asked for salt, and I gave it to him. And that had happened before. On the first occasion with other people, I had to ask the senior person among them if I should give this guy the salt. Is that safe? You know, do you all know what you're doing? Because it certainly sounded like something wrong to me. But I gave him. And I have a suspicion that since I have more work to do, this is going to come up again. How safe is that? Thank you.
Okay. So first and foremost, there can be, because he's doing outdoor work, the persons, your workers, may have been badly dehydrated. And in that process of dehydration, they not only lose normal, the water component, they do lose the components of your sodium and the potassium. What I would have done in that case, if you had coconut water, then that would be helpful. If you had, and I know most homes don't have it, but there's something called oral rehydration solutions. That may be like your sport drinks, because those sport drinks come very close to the electrolyte balance consistent with the normal bodily fluids. In the case of giving a person salt, if we don't know if they're hypertensive or not, we can actually spike their blood pressure if we give them actual salt. So I would lean towards more natural products, obviously, coconut water, or you can indeed make sure, speak to their supervisor, find out what their health challenges are, and just make sure you have those times and breaks before they start, if they took their medications, if they've had a proper meal, if they're maintaining their hydration. Again, in our environment, we really underestimate how important it is for us to maintain our hydration. So that's a really good consideration that you're keeping in mind for the next time. Thank you so much, caller, for bringing it forward.
All right, so get some more calls. Remember, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, folks, on Freedom 106.5 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, Sangi 106.1, and Sky 99.5. Hello, good afternoon. All right, we lost that one. Sorry, 627-3223, 625-2257, The Lunchtime Doctor. All right, let's get a question here. Good day, Doctor. Very good program. I'm learning a lot. I am 56 years old, and I'm seeing the early signs of varicose veins. What can I do to relieve these symptoms, please? I have started to use the compression stockings because sometimes I'm on my feet all day. I'm a female. Thanks in advance.
You know, the thing about varicose veins, it not only is painful, but especially in the case with women, they absolutely do not like how it looks. So using, you're already on the right track by using the compression stockings. Because you're on your feet for a lot of time, then that's going to worsen the position. But that may be difficult to compromise. So here's what I suggest. In the morning time, you definitely want to ensure you're doing that exercise for the ankles, for the knees, any sort of movements that will get the blood flowing. You want to ensure you do that again in the night, even if it means 15 minutes, 20 minutes intense activity. Something as simple as skipping gets that blood flowing at the ankles and the knees in particular. And that's what varicose veins is really is. Let's understand that. Varicose veins are swollen, enlarged veins. They can become discolored. They can also then become what we say lumpy. They look like spiders in the whole process because it's all across the legs. And you already started with the compression stockings. You want to also, there's medications you can take to help ease that varicose veins. Let a cardiologist or at least your healthcare profession start with that particular treatment. Another very important thing one can do. Now, this one is always a little tricky to advise patients on because they may feel, it's difficult to encourage persons to lose weight. But just as little as losing 10 pounds can reduce the possibility and the complications of varicose veins. And simple ways to lose weight is one, ensuring what you're eating is as natural as possible, fruits and vegetables, keep your healthy plate. Two, making sure you're getting that exercise at least 30 minutes a day. What is recommended? 90 minutes for the week. I know, and believe me, I know, because I have those struggles too. Balancing all the work and all of the life demands, and of course, getting some exercise in can be difficult. But get 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the afternoon, 5 minutes during the day. If you're walking a lot, up and down the steps instead of taking elevators. Even if you're sitting at a desk job, continue doing those, I would say, tippy toes, exercising the ankles, making sure you're constantly getting some steps in. So for those varicose veins, if you do have a pedometer on you or it's in your smartphone, you want to be able to clock at least 5,000 to 6,000 steps a day. That will certainly help reduce the presence of the varicose veins. Hope that answers your question.
Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks again for the opportunity. But Doc, I don't know how you missed this one. I see the Ministry of Health has a great initiative for school children to start with. The Ministry of Health, I think from this week, going to the food places and tell them to lower the sodium and the sugary content in them. And they all, I would call the names, the branding, and all the corn cool and honey roasted, this and sugary, all these sugary juice and things. So they're taking a great step. But that should be to the Ministry of Education too. Because she's learning things in school. Because, as I just say, SOS, salt, oil, and sugar is the killer in this country. Thanks again.
So no, we absolutely didn't miss it. Both the Guardian Media and my own company, Sisu Global Wellness, are collaborative partners with the Ministry of Health in terms of guiding a lot of that nutritional input through the Diabetes Association as well. Here's what happened over this weekend. And this was another thing that happened that was such informative and impacting. Over the weekend, the Diabetes Association of Trinidad and Tobago, we held our national school quiz. It was in partnership with the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Education. There was participation of over 60 schools across Trinidad and Tobago, well over 600 school students at the Standard 3 level. And why did we ask for the Standard 3 level? Because we want to ensure our young ones know the information about diabetes, know how to prevent, know what the signs and symptoms are. And in this national school quiz, this information, they had this curriculum and they were studying this curriculum for the past couple of months with their teachers. So I want to take the time to congratulate all of the teachers, all of the schools that participated, and of course our winners. And they went through three different rounds of examination to the point of the actual quiz. Over the weekend, Freedom broadcasted it, and of course, these partnerships continue to blossom, giving persons these information. So yes, caller, we do have collaboration with the Ministry of Health, with the Ministry of Education, but as always, more can be done. But it was refreshing to see these young 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-olds knowing the meaning of diabetes, type 1, type 2, DKA even, diabetes ketoacidosis, knowing how to prevent it, being able to advise their parents. Now, here's the thing. In preparing for that quiz, they also had their parents involved because their parents would quiz them on that information. And another thing that's been advocated for is front of label packaging, where we're trying to get many of these unhealthy products have a front label package showing exactly how much salt and sugar it has, and hopefully increasing the awareness. So thank you so much, caller. Yes, a lot more work is to be done, but I want to congratulate all the CSOs, NGOs, all the stakeholders who is moving the needle forward in making sure we have a healthier nation.
All right, another question. Doctor, what is your opinion on the use of vitamins and supplements that can be used to help in tapering and possibly getting off sleeping medications?
Great question. Now, sleeping medications on the whole, most of them can be addictive. So yes, we would always tend to shift away from that addiction to some of these sleeping aids. There are one or two vitamins that you can switch to. Melatonin is one that's even over the counter. However, I would suggest let it be guided by your healthcare professional. Here's the why. I don't know what the other medications you're on. Medications and vitamins can have an interaction, and you don't want to diminish the effectiveness of the medication by the effect of the vitamin or the minerals added. I hope that answers your question. Keep in mind there are other things you can do in terms of reducing the need for sleep aids. We talked about proper sleep hygiene. We talked about making sure you find calming ways, either to reduce anxiety, either to dissociate from too much streaming devices or that visual stimulation. Sometimes the last thing we see before we fall asleep is the TV screen, and that leaves an impression on our retina. You want to give yourself at least 30 minutes away from any sort of screen devices. And yes, that also includes your phones. Keep in mind, all of that can affect directly your brain and thereby also affect the sleep hormones. I hope that answers your question.
All right, doctor, I'm 60 years old, female. I notice when I go to the bathroom to pass urine, my urine is usually very hot. Is that normal? Thank you.
Thank you so much for letting us know that. Yes, that's normal. So I am not overly concerned when it comes to urine. What we will be very concerned about is if you're feeling any burning. So if in the passing of the urine, that process, you're feeling a burning, or if you've seen any sort of blood, or if you've seen a change in the color of the urine, or if there was something called a urinary incontinence where there was dribbling before or even after, that's when I'll be concerned. But other than that, the temperature of it, that one is not sending off a red flag. Hope that answers your question.
Hi, Doc. I'm experiencing numbness in my feet. I am also diabetic. Sometimes it burns. What can you do to help?
Thank you so much. You know, we address, I think every single program, we address numbness in the feet. Now, I want us to be very clear with our diabetics. This is one of the major concerns. In fact, they're opening now, Ministry of Health, diabetic foot wellness clinics across the nation because there's so many patients affected. Here's what causes that numbness. It's mainly caused by either nerve injury, a neuropathy. It's either caused by poor blood flow or poor circulation, most people like to say, or some sort of inflammatory process. How can we treat it? The number one form of treatment is, one, being consistent with your diabetic medication. Poor sugar control means that it will have more damage to these nerve endings. And that numbness will go to much more than just numbness, but loss of sensation. Not only do we want you to have proper sugar control, we want you to ensure you engage in some level of physiotherapy, some level of exercise for your feet. And if you're experiencing that numbness, then you are at risk of easily bruises and cuts to your feet, because you may hit your feet, bruise it, and not even feel that. Because of diabetes now, there's something called poor wound healing, and that bruise that you didn't feel may now develop into a sore, or worse yet, a gangrene. And when you wonder, why is it we have so many diabetic toes, diabetic feet that has to be amputated? This is why. So please, let's stay consistent with our medications. Check your sugar values. Reduce your sugar if possible. If you're experiencing this numbness, then you want to ensure you engage in a little more exercise. There are a few medications on the market, even some vitamins and minerals, with an increased amount of vitamin B or the thiamine component, because some of those that experience the numbness also may have a thiamine deficiency. In fact, I believe it was last week, Thursday, right in our diabetes program on Thursdays, one of our international consultants, Dr. Mann, talked about a thiamine deficiency and one of the medications that is on the market that is utilized to treat this thiamine deficiency. So have that conversation with your healthcare professional and know that there are ways to prevent this numbness from getting worse. Hope that answers your question.
12:36 on time, folks. Of course, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor, 627-3223, 625-2257. WhatsApp messages only, 3061065, and feel free to message or other frequencies, and you could send your messages to them, and they will forward it here to us on Freedom 106.5. We take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Beef. I just heard the doctor's little discourse there on numbness in the feet, right? So I had a similar problem. Have it still actually on the currently doing some therapy for it. However, I'd like to share my experience with you guys. So I am predisposed to diabetes by virtue of my dad being diabetic. So when I started to experience the numbness, I get it primarily on the ball of my right foot, and it kind of extends to the toes a little bit, all right? So I started to do my own little research and stuff, and I ended up doing an MRI on my back, and I discovered that the L4, well, doctor would understand this language, the L4, L5, there is a disc bulge pressing on the nerve that is causing the numbness on the ball of the foot. So, you know, my experience was while it indicated the diabetes, as I said, by virtue of my dad being diabetic, it may not always be the case. So sometimes back injuries, bulge disc, is the cause and the source of this numbness and tingly feeling you get in the feet. And so I just wanted to share that experience, and you know, perhaps persons could look into that as well as being one of the causes that they're experiencing this numbness and tingly feeling. Thank you.
Koala, thank you so very much. Often we do talk about the neurological damage, and I'm really glad you took that step forward and got it evaluated. That's what we advise all of the patients. Just make sure, don't sit with the numbness, because that's what most of our patients, especially our diabetics, tend to do. They get the numbness and they sit with it. But in your case, you were proactive and went so far that you got the MRI. And yes, that stenosis, that bulging at that nerve in particular, definitely, we've talked about that, leads to that numbness, that neuralgia, that pain in the feet. So thank you so much for sharing that perspective. I hope it benefits a number of our callers.
All right. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Hello, good afternoon. I am 74 years of age. I have some gas in my stomach. I went to the doctor to give me some medication and things. But every time I lift anything heavy, I feel in a weight in my stomach and I have to go and sit down. Last Saturday, I had to end up in the hospital. They take blood tests, they take x-ray, and they say nothing. But every time I lift up something heavy, it just in my stomach. I have to come and sit down. I'm so tired. So I just want to get some kind of...
Thank you so much for calling in. Now, I'm glad that you went to the doctor and started the process. But here's what is coming straight to mind. Of course, I would need to examine you, do a full history before I can give a proper diagnosis. Let's make sure they check to see if there's any sort of hernia involved, because you suggested this happens typically when you're lifting something. There is something called a hiatal hernia within the stomach there, and can block that acid fluids coming from the esophagus into the stomach, or even allow it to reflux. So let's make sure that it's not only they're checking the bloods, that they may also do an ultrasound, or they may need to go one step further and do a scope. I want you to keep in mind as well, keep a note of what are the other triggers that is bringing about these signs and symptoms, because all of this helps solve that piece of the puzzle. I'm sure they would have already prescribed a couple antacids or even put proton pump inhibitors, medications to help relieve that reflux effect, that GERD reflex that you're already experiencing. And I do hope you continue to stay with your guidance, with your true healthcare professional, so you can get to resolution. Hope that answers your question.
All right, Doctor. 12:41 on time. The Lunchtime Doctor. Let's see some more questions here. Questions. So the Lord, then so many are coming in. All right. Dear Doctor, the bottom number of my BP reading is always quite normal, 78, 79, 80, or 81. However, the top number is always high, 137, 41, 151. I am on blood pressure meds. What does such a reading infer?
Okay.
good question. Now, anytime we have the top value, which is the systolic, so I'm going to repeat these two terminologies. The top value is your systolic, the bottom one is the diastolic. The systolic would represent the day-to-day activities. So yes, there are certain stresses that are happening. Now, that 137, 141, 151 is what we call mildly elevated. So it will be controlled by your lifestyle measures and, of course, your medications. Here's what I suggest, and it's a little bit of homework I'm giving you all. Identify, take some time, see what habits that you may need to adjust. We all know the unhealthy habits in our life. Is it too much salt we're eating? Is it we're not getting enough water? Is it we're not getting enough exercise? Those three health habits will bring down your blood pressure. It will not happen right away. It may take some time. It definitely takes consistency. So let's make sure you're looking at what lifestyle habits you may need to adjust. Stay consistent with your medications. However, next time you go to your healthcare professional, they may need to even adjust the medications. Sometimes we start a medication, the body gets acclimatized. We may need to step it up. So have a little notebook, write down the values, write down when you're taking the meds. We may need to add an extra layer. One medications may not work effectively after a certain amount of time. It takes both the patient and the healthcare professional to get you to a point of regulated blood pressure. But keep in mind what your daily stressors are. Your daily stressors can certainly send up that systolic value. And I do hope you not only take this advice, but call us back again and let us know how the blood pressures are going.
All right, Doc, an 8-year-old girl who suffers with asthma and wheezing. She is not well recently, but now she is fine during the day. But at nighttime, she becomes very congested and struggles a bit. Can a humidifier help? Any advice? Thanks.
So, especially for little ones going through asthmatic situations, they experience something called nocturnal asthma, where it's worsened in the night. They may have that wheezing, they may have the shortness of breath, they may even have coughing fits. So yes, a home humidifier will help, but what I also want to suggest is sometimes the carpets on the floor, the linens, all of that may be triggers for asthma. Here's what also can be triggers, and it's a little difficult to manage. Some of those plush toys, those fibers can be triggers for an asthmatic attack. And I know, because I've seen and treated a number of our little patients, they hug their plush toy, be it a comfy or something or the other, and that may trigger an asthmatic attack. So it's identifying what the triggers are. If we can reduce as much of those triggers in the bedroom and, of course, add that home humidifier, those certainly will be measures that would help.
12:45, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and The Vibe City 105 FM, 627-3223, 625-2257. Let's get a question here. Good day, Doc. Are there any procedures in Trinidad to get rid of blockages that contribute to sinusitis? I don't think they spelled that properly.
But they probably typed it wrong. Yeah.
Sinusitis. And rhinosinusitis. Yes.
And rhinosinusitis.
Can you explain the difference? It'd be different in both.
Certainly. Yeah. So any sort of sinus infections within our facial structure, we have different sinus areas. And what are those sinus areas? They essentially are pockets. So we may have one just above the eyebrows. That's called the frontal sinus. We may have one at both sides of the nose, and that's actually the biggest one. That's called your maxillary sinus. So there are different sinus pockets. There actually are quite a few within the entire facial structure. A sinusitis Now, anything that ends on the word itis means inflammatory process. So there may be some sort of inflammatory process or within that sinus area, that air-filled pockets become filled with fluid that becomes infected. That's either infected by viruses, bacteria, and this is where treatment evolves. Treatment can be that from the upper because it's upper respiratory, you want to treat topically. A home nebulizer, those aerosols help reduce the buildup of the mucus, or systematically, you can have a mucolytic. That's a medication, an oral medication you would be taking, and the oral medication certainly will help reduce that buildup of mucus. So it could be a mucolytic. Now, in explaining the difference between sinusitis and rhinosinusitis, essentially the rhino area now is just the mucous membranes of the sinus area. So we actually exchange sinusitis or rhinosinusitis because essentially it's the same thing. What we want to do is ensure there's free passage. So if there's any buildup of mucus, if there's any buildup of fluid, you can have that free passage area. This is where not just the nebulizer comes into play, but certain medications can also come into play. And you want to, most importantly, avoid the triggers. Just like with asthma, you have triggers for sinusitis. All of those things play a factor. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Good day, Doc. I'm 63 years old. My blood pressure levels are 110 over 62 plus 60. Is that okay?
110 over, I just got three different numbers there.
Well, just one. Mm-hmm. This actually put 110, 62 plus 60. So I guess it'll be
okay,
110
over 60. I think I know what I mean. So on your blood pressure monitor, you actually get three readings. You get your top value, which is the systolic, the bottom value, the diastolic, and then a third value, which is the heart rate. So yes, 110 on 62 is perfectly acceptable. The 62 is a little bit on the lower end of normal. We want it around the 120 on 80, even up to 70, I'll accept. Let's just make sure you're well hydrated. Let's make sure your thyroid levels aren't low. A person with low thyroid levels can also have a lower diastolic. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, doctor. I am 21-year-old male working in the construction industry. My right arm, however, gets numb and pains a lot. Can you help me?
Thank you so much for reaching out. Now, just like the caller talked about, there may be not just diabetes or hypertension as the underlying, especially as you mentioned, working in the construction industry, there may have been trauma that's now leading to this numbness in the hand. And that trauma may be to the back. That trauma may be to the nerve structures. The caller earlier identified that his numbness was because of a direct bulge within the nerve structures. In your case, being within the construction industry, that's the first thing I'd want to rule out. Any sort of back injury, any sort of lower lumbar injury, or any sort of pathology there. So one, please go to your health professional, be it private or public. Just get it checked out because that numbness will certainly progress. Hope that answers the question.
Good day, doctor. When I wake on the mornings, my nose is usually dry. Could it be the AC?
Most definitely. Or I'm not too sure if you have any sort of allergic condition, or as we mentioned earlier, some sort of sinusitis. Another thing that we've experienced with patients who have this dry nasal passages is if there's any obstructive sleep apnea. So one, let's check to see how your sleep hygiene is. Let's make sure you're being well oxygenated during the night. How can we measure that? You can simply do an OSA, obstructive sleep apnea test. Have that conversation with your healthcare professional, and believe me, you'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, boy. 627-3223 and 625-2257. Of course, what are the symptoms of a UTI and what tests can be done to determine as such?
Right. Now, with a UTI, let's explain it what it is to our listeners. A urinary tract infection. One may experience a range of symptoms. There can be pain or discomfort when passing urine. One may feel a sense of urgency, like they need to pass urine, they need to pass urine. They've gone and they've emptied, but there's still that urgency or the need. One may also see blood on passing urine. Another thing, one may get a foul smell, or it may actually even look cloudy. Now, if the UTI progresses to a kidney infection, there can be a lot of pain. They can even feel very unwell. Please, a UTI is not one to take lightly. Get it treated. Treatment is very easy, as in, once diagnosed, yes, there are a couple tests that we would do. Once diagnosed, we would either start a direct antibacterial medication treatment line, and of course, we encourage you, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Hope that answers your question.
All right, before we take our call, just letting you know, victims of their survivors, Crime Week is coming here on Freedom 106.5 FM, and we're giving you a voice. You have a chance to share the pain, the grief, the anger that you have experienced and endured in silence. If you have been a victim of crime, share your survival story with us via email at freedom106.5fm@gmail.com. It will be featured anonymously in our Crime Week on Air series for the love of country between June the 5th to the 11th. Freedom 106.5 FM says you have a voice. Share your survival story with our email once again at freedom106.5fm@gmail.com. Freedom, the station where talk matters. Let's take this call. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm to you, and the doctor here. I'm almost 60 years now, right? And about a month ago, about 1:30 in the morning time, so I started to feel under my left foot, right? Like a sort of a itch. And it is a sort of a like ticklish or tingling sensation. It going, and I was to get up, come outside and try to rub it and think about it. Going for about 5 minutes, but continuing also. So all I could do is to take some alcohol out of half of my fridge, cool it and rub it under my feet, and it, after about 10 minutes, so it went, and it never really came back again. So I just want to find out what it is. It's not really pain in it. It's a sort of a tingling sensation. I'm going to cool off my left foot and thing. And so I don't know what the doctor could say on that, but I will listen off there.
Thank you so much. Now, here's the thing. That particular symptom is one that I am always very concerned about because it's so easily treatable. It may be something called a dermatitis or even an athlete's foot, like a fungal infection. Or I'm not too sure if you're diabetic or not. If it is indeed a diabetic foot infection, that's one of the ways it does present, this itchy feet. What do we do? We make sure we want to properly inspect the feet. We want to make sure the feet is not in a space of, see, you're wearing socks all day, and then that becomes that moisture accumulated. It becomes like a petri dish for further infections. So you want to ensure there is that time where there's that time for the feet to literally, as they say, air out. You want to also ensure that if you're using whatever footwear, it is indeed also cleaned properly. Now, there can be some things as simple as a mosquito infection, something like that. If you're diabetic, that may unfortunately lead to a traumatic area within the feet. Sometimes one may be allergic to that. Now, here's another couple reasons that causes itchiness with the feet that we must rule out. One may have some sort of thyroid disease. Yes, if your thyroid levels are either elevated or reduced, you can also present with itchy feet. So while you may think it could be very simple, let's just get it checked out, because there can be underlying reasons for this itchy feet. As always, rule out common things that are common. So do a proper inspection of the feet. If you're noticing any trauma areas, any bites, any things, then it's definitely those aspects. If you can't lock it in, then please make sure, book that appointment and go see your healthcare professional.
All right, doctor, is expired goods wise to use expired goods? You know, sometimes you may see goods that are expired, how long? You know, sometimes they may be, let's say, expiring today. Could you give it a little time again, or should we count on that very specific date?
Well, I'm one that generally tends to be very OCD about expired dates. So I tend to stay away from any sort of dates that are beyond the expiration, any sort of foods that are beyond the expiration date. And yes, especially, you want to gauge it. If it's your natural products, definitely. If you know it has a date that says do not use beyond, then most likely the day after, the day thereafter, it may have some sort of gut infection or some sort of indigestion. If it is processed foods or canned foods, or let's say a tin of milk, then those things have a longer shelf life. And yes, you may give it a day or two, but why risk it? Similarly, with your medications, there's a reason they put an expiration date on it. I would not give it much more than 1 week beyond the expiration date. Hope that answers the question.
Someone is saying specifically, what about yogurt? I think that is something you should definitely stay away from if it has an expiry date.
Agreed. Yogurt tends to have these probiotics. So you definitely, once past the date, then that is no longer considered healthy.
All right, folks, so it's about 2 more minutes. Once again, remember, freedom for the love of country. We're having a great series here talking about crime from June 5th. To June 11th. Send your experiences, and if you'd like to be a part of the program, to freedom106.5fm.com. That's freedom105fm.com. 106.5fm.com. Of course, giving you a voice there. Good afternoon. I have something like a cobblestone throat for a mouth and more now, and it's not going away at all. No itching symptoms, only the feeling of something swollen in my throat. Single out allergies as well.
Right. So anytime you're feeling that cold in the throat or any sort of deposition, you certainly not only want to check the allergies, but you want to check something called the adenoids. Those are lymph nodes that are attached to the upper respiratory system that can become inflamed when there is indeed either a cold, a virus, a bacterial infection that the body is fighting. So please take it one step further and get it checked out.
All right, we have just about 30 more seconds. Doc, can you let us know what's in your Health Plus tomorrow?
Certainly. So tomorrow we won't have our CNC3 program, but what we certainly will have is your Health Plus in the Guardian. This week is indeed World No Tobacco Day. So WHO is focusing on reducing the scourge of lung cancer. And yes, we've talked about smoking. We'll continue to talk about it right here on Lunchtime Doctor on Wednesday. But in your Health Plus, you can look at ways, measures to help you ease off that smoking, and of course the unfortunate effects of nicotine. Now we'll discuss that more on Wednesday, but to all, as I say goodbye right here on your Lunchtime Doctor, I want to wish all our entire population a happy Indian Arrival Day. Please be safe in the holiday tomorrow.
All right, thank you there very much, Doc, and catch you tomorrow. Will you be on tomorrow?
I don't believe we typically have a medical show on the holidays, but you certainly will get me on Wednesday.
All right, definitely. Well, you do enjoy your day tomorrow, Doc. Catch you on Wednesday. You've been listening, of course, to Lunchtime Doctor. Heard, of course, on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Vibe City 105 FM, and Sky 99.5. And remember, they're victims, they're survivors. Crime Week is coming on Freedom 106.5 FM. We are giving you a voice, giving you a chance to share your pain, your grief, your anger, any of your stories. Email us right here at freedom106.5fm@gmail.com. We're doing this from June 5th to the 11th. So check us out and send your emails, and do enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.